Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. I just wanted to say thank you to everyone who's sticking with me throughout my podcast episodes. I've noticed that they're not being listened to as much, which is fine because people are allowed to listen to what they want to listen to. But I just wanted to explain, between a chronic illness, two jobs, and all of the buildings around me having the cladding removed, I'm basically unable to record podcasts as much as I want to. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening and sticking with me. If you do have anything that you want me to speak about, feel free to reach out on social media. I'm no longer using Twitter because Elon Musk is a cisgender Nancy boy. But if you do have me on any forms of social media and you want to reach out and ask me to speak about things, feel free. I would love to hear from people because I do like to speak to people who also are interested in the madness of British politics. Thanks very much. Hello and welcome to Politically Enraged, the Lefty's Refuge. We have some stuff to talk about this week. I feel the need to explain some stuff, which it's probably going to take me ages to do this, and I'm really sorry. This will be what I imagine is an interesting episode, because you're going to get an insight into the fucked up brain of me. I've been putting out a lot of content that's quite critical of Starmer's Labour recently, and I get mixed responses. You know, I get a lot of the kind of seal clapping, yeah, everyone's shit. And that kind of, you know, the political zeitgeist is starting to really grate on me now because I'm not trying to destabilize our hopes of getting away from the Tories. I want to explain why I'm doing the things that I'm doing and in greater length than I can put in a fucking TikTok video. Not to mention, I don't want to sit cross-legged on my floor for 10 minutes because my ass will just literally fall off my body. The long and the short of it is, I understand why people are afraid of criticising Starmer's Labour, and I also understand, you know, like, I see talking about British politics as, like, there's this ball in front of me that's British politics, and you have to pull these lenses in front of it to get it in focus. So you've got the lens of FPTP, the lens of people who absorb right-wing media, the lens of people that own the right-wing media, desperately trying to get people to believe, oh, it's the foreign trans people of colour. It's not the people that have been in charge for so many years that have no plans at all, or us telling you who it is as we literally steal all your money. You have to have these lenses in place at all time. But the problem is, whenever you talk about politics, unless you give people those lenses, they will never align with what you're saying. You always have to do this disclaimer shit to get people to understand what you're saying. So that's your first problem. You have to get people to understand where you're coming from when you talk about politics, because talking about politics is provocative at the best of times. And right now, with all of this radical shit going on, it is extremely difficult to get people to understand your perspective. Additionally, though, a lot of people have, I don't know how to say this in a nice way, but honestly, like, the phrase that makes me want to peel my own fucking face off these days is, oh, well, at least they're not the Tories. Oh, they're not the Tories, though. I'll vote for them because they're not the Tories. That's really great. Why are you lowering your expectations of what comes after the Conservatives? Why are you doing it? This is why I get so mad. You can probably tell from my voice, I'm so pissed off with hearing the same rhetoric, right? I'm tired of it. The Conservatives have demonstrably fucked this country for years now. Let's start with Cameron and his obsession with absolutely carving out any public spending to the bone, ostensibly to get the debt down. We don't want low debt. Dependent on exactly what's going on, if there's a war going on, we probably don't want high debt. But high debt means that we are investing into the country in sensible projects which will pay off. We should be investing into the country. Debt should be at a reasonable level. If it's at an unmanageable level, well, they keep coming up with ways to fix it. I forced myself to watch a 23-minute video about quantitative easing yesterday. Honestly, I genuinely would rather have died, and yet I survived. But we've got a Conservative government that has increasingly become more radical. So you started off with Cameron and his supposed commonsensical cuts to public services that killed over 300,000 people. Then you had the, oh well, coalition of chaos. That's kind of funny. Didn't you guys work with the Liberal Democrats? Are you saying that you guys shouldn't have worked with the Liberal Democrats? It's just bizarre, you know? Oh, coalitions work when it's with us, but not when it's with other people. Okay. But throughout all of that, we had increasing risks to public finance and, you know, the recovery, which involved everybody paying out except for the people that caused the crash, aka Sunak and the bankers. Then you get to the fact that Cameron's government would not sit still and were constantly pressuring him behind the scenes, and so he capitulated to doing a Brexit referendum to make sure there wasn't a rebellion within the party. And when he did that, that was it. That was the death knell for any kind of sensible discourse around British politics, because of the machinations of absolute tools like Boris Johnson behind the scenes, who had spent years jokingly writing articles about how the EU was trying to make us eat straight bananas and shit like that. Every single thing that was wrong in this country was the fault of the EU. And if it wasn't the EU, it was the people coming here in boats. And if it wasn't the people coming here in boats, it was the people of colour that lived here and were complaining about the fact that society wasn't great. Or it was the gays and they're complaining about, oh, well, we can have civil partnerships but not marriage. Or it was, pick a group, you know? Every single day, every single week, there was a new group who it was the boogeyman that was making your life difficult. Never the people in charge, though. Ultimately, the Brexit referendum allowed them to pin every single problem that we had in the UK on the EU. And so naturally, people were like, well, if that's the case, then I'm going to vote to leave. So by a narrow margin, that happened. Some people saw through it, some people didn't. Not that many people voted in the EU referendum, can I just say. It still amazes me how few people actually voted in that referendum, considering how many people there were of voting age in this country. But anyway. So we ended up with the result that we did. And the problem that we had then was this, like, lack of action from people that voted. In fact, not even lack of action, right? I saw that absolute caustic bint, Julia Hartley Brewer, tweeted, I think it was in 2018 or 2019, saying, who's at a march voting for a deal on Brexit? We voted to leave and we're going to go. And I was like, this is the last bastion of keeping some of the urgent things that we need to keep in order for our economy not to suffer. And you're actively discouraging people from taking part in it. Essentially, you guys won the referendum and then sat on your asses for years watching people scrambling around going, okay, well, we're being dragged out of the EU by a tiny, slightly larger proportion than us. Now we need to prepare for it. While the people that voted to leave were like, I'm going to sit here with my thumb up my ass. Now, naturally, some things are out of the Conservatives' control. The fact that coronavirus happened, not the Conservatives' fault. Their handling of it, demonstrably bad. I can't wait for the results of the COVID hearings because I'm telling you now, the Conservatives mishandled it so badly. I don't know if you guys have watched any of it. I can't really watch too much because it genuinely, like, I wish that people would understand how much, not to be selfish because everybody suffered, but I really suffered in the first lockdown in particular. I just watched my mum die. I was completely on my own. I felt like I was going insane. And I was living in a tiny flat that was incredibly warm with a moth infestation that they wouldn't come out and fix and they completely forgot about. And it was just miserable. It wasn't the Conservatives' fault that it happened. It was their fault that they didn't handle it well. Additionally, there's all of the other problems that we've faced since then. The Conservatives have gotten more radical. They've lost any sense of coherent rhetoric around how they want to handle the country, the direction they want to steer us in. Sunak's talking about giving people fucking math lessons while people's mortgages are tripling. Are you sure you want people to be good at maths, Rishi? Because if people work out just how fucked they are because of you and your economic idiocy, they're probably going to come to your house. There was the whole thing that Liz Truss did, you know, like some of the stuff that because I didn't really understand how that part of the economy worked when it happened. But I forced myself to read the most tedious articles and journals about how the economy functions. I learned that we're a fiat currency, which I didn't even know was a thing before. It's worth Googling that. But the way that the Conservatives handled Liz Truss's idiocy was incredible. You had people like Isabella Oakeshott being like, oh, finally, a Conservative budget. And when the economy literally went in the corner, everybody was like, no, no, this is good. This is what we want. It was like watching people shoving a razor blade in between their toes and being like, oh, this is so good. What I'm trying to say is the Conservatives have done so much damage. And that is just the economic side of it. From my perspective as a gay man, I've watched this rising tide of hatred against my community that if you aren't part of it, you just won't understand what it's like. Every time you put a video on the internet, every time you tweet, every time you post a photo, every time you go out in public, I went out in public yesterday in a t-shirt that said queer but not into colours, you know, so if I'd got attacked, then that's air quotes my own fault for advertising who I am. But even when you don't do that, you are at risk of people attacking you based on who you are. And it just wasn't really that much of a thing. Like, 10 years ago, it just wasn't. People just didn't give a fuck. So when it comes to society as well, you know, the increasing kind of mainstreaming of the anti-trans movement, which is like, it's so insane that people don't see how crazy they are. If you take away the lens of like gender care and all of that, and you just look at it as a bunch of people saying, we would like to exercise our bodily autonomy this way, and a bunch of people going, no, you are evil criminals. How do you not see that that is so easy to flip back on you? First of all, anti-trans LGB people, it's literally easier to say, we don't want you in our bathrooms because we're worried you're a sexual pervert about LGB people than it is trans people. A trans woman could go into a women's bathroom and she could be straight, so she could like men. How is she going to be a sexual predator towards women? Lesbians and bi women are literally sexually attracted to women. Do you not see how this discourse is going to go if you guys are successful at pushing it? Do you not see that? Because you guys are relying on the people around you only being fixated on transgender people. But I guarantee you that they feel exactly the same way about you as you claim to about trans people. I guarantee it. They see you as a useful idiot at best. And if you are an LGB person that's hateful towards transgender people, and you start facing oppression and discomfort and issues every time you're out in the street, that's not because the world is too accepting of trans people, because right now it isn't. How are you not making this connection? You'll notice that in America, a law was passed saying you're allowed to discriminate against people based on your religion. And there was no provision for people like you, who are useful pick-me's to the movement. You are being discriminated against as well, because the ultimate goal isn't to remove trans people because of safety concerns. It's because they fucking hate us. These things are happening in America. We tend to be a slightly later mirror of America. So those things are coming here, and they'll happen. And it's your fault. And you need to accept that, because you did this. But this was all under the environs of the Conservative Party. They are the people that control the media. They are the people who stoke things up. People have been well paid to write articles about this. People have been well paid because they've brought up spurious lawsuits that have mainstreamed this ridiculous ideology. They're using it half as a distraction and half because it weakens what they want to do to us in the future. So what I'm trying to say is you've got economic stuff going absolutely tits up under the Conservatives. You've got equality and societal cohesion going tits up under the Conservatives. Everybody is suffering from this. Even if you're a heinous bigot, you are spending all of your life angry, pissed off, with your head buried in social media and angry newspapers, reading about how everyone around you is responsible for the decline of society. None of you aiming your ire correctly at the people that have been in executive control for over 13 years, the people who have literally done this to us. Now, when you look in terms of the freedoms and equalities that have been taken from us with regards to protest, which has been weakened severely, with regards to striking, which has been weakened severely, when you look at every single aspect of how we live, our mortgages are up, our bills are up, our personal freedoms lower than they've been for a very long time. We are suffering in real terms. The Conservatives are responsible for this. So I see the Conservatives now as the imminent threat to people. They are terrible at what they do. They are bad at governance. They should not be within a country mile of in charge of anything. That's not just the problem, okay? Because what I see is a lot of people pulling out the rhetoric that I mentioned at the start. This, like, at least they're not the Tories. At least they're better than the Tories. They'll do better than the Tories will. I'll vote for them even with all my concerns, because at least they're not the Tories. When you say things like this, when you accept things like you are accepting, if you have qualms with Labour, you are lowering the bar for what Labour can offer you to please you. And the problem with that is, I refuse to allow a lackadaisical, lazy, mediocre Labour Party, or whoever else, whoever it is, to take over from the Conservatives. I refuse it. Because all of the stuff I've just outlined has happened. Our economy, flatlined. Our growth, gone. Our world standing, lower. Our personal freedoms, evaporated. Whoever takes over from the Conservatives has to be at the top of their game, the best at politics that they can be. They have to be wonderful. Because if they aren't, if they're mediocre, if all you expect of them and all they need to be is not the Tories, you got it. I've no doubt that the Tories are sealed. They're gone. They're done. The people that replace them need to be absolutely amazing at politics. Because if they aren't good, we are in for more pain. Whoever takes over from the Conservatives has to be wonderful at politics, wonderful at relations, wonderful at restoring civil equalities, amazing at thronging people together who are different and making people see past those differences. Because if they are not good at these things, if they cannot thread those things together, we are ruined as a country. The degradation that happened under the Tories will continue because a mediocre government with no real goals on how to fix that will just sweep in and sit there, and they will have the ongoing defense of, at least we're not the Tories. Very little will change. Very little policy plans will come in, which will get us away from where we are. Everyone will get even angrier because we expected this wonderful sweep, even though all we ever said was just don't be the Tories. They won't do that. They won't change things. Everyone will get angry. And then all it takes is a rehabilitation and a facelift of the Tory party, and an even more radical version sweeps in the next election after that. We have to expect a lot, a ton. We have to be realistic, but we have to expect good things, bold changes, progressive policies from the next government, whoever they may be, because if we don't, we won't get that. And if we don't get that, we will have another 5 years of terrible chaos, of degradation, of societal erosion, and then the Tories will win again, or someone else will win who's offering really radical change, and it won't be the radical change in the right direction. The problem is, a radical government is forcing us to lower our standards for what we'll accept to get rid of them, when the damage they're causing needs to be mitigated by an even better government than whoever else would come in who would just be mediocre. And if we get a government of mediocrity, after that comes a government who is offering deep right-wing changes because, well, the lefties had their shot and we're just as bad or worse off than we were before. So we're going to sweep in and we're going to kick out all the illegals and we're going to take away that healthcare from those people. We're going to stop those people from getting married because did you notice how society started getting bad right around the time they got those rights? They got too uppity. We need to remind them that we're the main ones. This is not me spitballing. This is evidence of history and the miracle of sight. You can see these things happening. You can see the debates coming. They're already trying to import the anti-choice message from America because ultimately all of this anti-bodily autonomy stuff that's been smuggled in under the guise of trans people is absolutely going to affect cisgender women as well, whether you want to admit it or not. Ultimately, I don't give a fuck if you think that trans people are the gender they say they are. I don't really care. Just to me, it just means you don't understand how gender works. I know what my gender is. It happens to correspond with my birth sex, but my gender and my birth sex are literally not the same thing. My gender is slightly different than my birth sex. I identify in a slightly different way than most people feel comfortable, but it's for me and I don't give a shit. It's not for anyone else. It's not their problem. It's not my problem. It just is, you know? But this will affect people who get pregnant and then desperately need abortions and they can't get them. And if your concern when you hear me talking about that is that I said people who can get pregnant, it's because I'm talking about multiple people, not because I'm trying to be gender sensitive, which I am anyway. It's because the rows that are coming are fomenting bigger, more dangerous regressions societally. Because you don't start big, you start small and you work your way up and you use those arguments to create a bigger wedge. When it comes to society, they're going to continue to cut more and more and more money from public services, regardless of supposed leaning right now. I have explained ad nauseum why the plans that Wes Streeting is putting in the NHS, if he gets in, are fucking terrible. I've worked for the private companies that he is planning to outsource to. They will purposely fail on their targets. We will have to renew our contracts. Huge swathes of public money will go into these companies to not really make a dent in the waiting lists when what we should be doing is cutting as many private companies out as we can, immediately using that capital to boost the salaries of all of the existing people in the NHS that are medical professionals. We should be incentivizing people to come here again on specialty visas to help us fill the shortfall of medical staff. During the pandemic, people on tier 2 visas were allowed to work over 20 extra hours. We should extend that. We should allow them to work however many extra hours they want, as long as they're working within their NHS catchment, to make sure that they are filling the shortfall. Additionally, we need to attack it from a more progressive standpoint when it comes to education in the UK. I don't really give a shit where my medic is from, but what we need to look at is there is a very real shortage of people going into medicine in the UK. Why is that? The nursing bursary was cut. It needs to be restored to the full amount that it was before. We also need to look at how to incentivize people into studying medicine by making the subject more interesting and accessible so that people from more disadvantaged backgrounds can study up to the level where they can go to university and become a doctor. We need to make degrees cheaper or make it so that we can repay them easier. Why does that not make sense? There are ways and means to fix the problems that we're facing. The Conservatives, one of my favourite phrases is, the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago, the second best time is now. The Conservatives didn't plant a tree 10 years ago. It's not burgeoning now because they didn't plant it. Even if they plant it now, it's going to be another 10 years before it pays off and it might be too late. We need people who can come in with a half-grown tree. And that's not what we're being offered. We're being told that people are going to start planting the seeds just as soon as they're in. Just as soon as they're in, the seeds will get planted. We might not survive to see the plants flourish. I completely get why people are adversarial around why I say and do what I do when it comes to talking about politics. I know that people think that I'm probably like trying to shift brands to be like a progressive lefty so that I can complain about Keir Starmer's Labour when he's in power. I don't give a fuck. If we get good politics, I might actually be able to stop talking about politics all the time and play video games again or go to the gym and not constantly check my phone to see if any breaking news has happened. I don't want this. It's become a huge part of my identity. I would love to have nice politics and see good things happen in the world and feel relaxed and not worried about the way things are going. That's all I really want. Ultimately, the thing that you need to remember is you cannot for a second lower your expectations of politicians. They should be sky high, realistic, but sky high. Because if you lower your expectations, you write an open license for them to suck. And that's exactly what's going to happen. In British politics right now, there are a bunch of what I can only kindly describe as mediocre people, regardless of party affiliation. A bunch of people who have taken jobs in Parliament because they have ideologies that they want to push. I am so supremely uninterested in the ideologies of people that work in Parliament. They are members of Parliament and therefore public servants. So they should not be stood there making divisive policy about who can come here on care visas, about changing the Equality Act to try and exclude people. They should not be doing these things, especially during a cost of living crisis, especially when there are so many problems that we're facing from the long-term repercussions of a pandemic on an already overstretched health system. They should not be doing these things. And if we get a mediocre government in again, those things will continue. It will happen. And my concern is that people are endorsing that unconsciously because they're so desperate, understandably, to see the back of the Conservative Party that they're saying to the people that will replace them, as long as you aren't the Tories, as long as you're not the Tories, you can do whatever you want. I'm not about that and I never will be, and you should not be either. These people should always be bending over backwards, striving to satisfy you. And if you are so debased as to only accept not the Conservatives, then that's a problem. And you really, really need to deal with it very, very carefully, because you are causing your own immiseration down the line. And further down that line is a government that is deeply right-wing and deeply populist, who will sweep to victory and who will make all of our lives a nightmare. I am not super politically intelligent. I just have eyes. Please think very carefully about the way that you want to steer the party that you're going to vote for and start to steer them. Because if you don't, I fear, and I mean gut-wrenching fear, for what comes after the Conservatives. Thanks for tuning in to Politically Enraged, and I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you do have any suggestions for any future topics, feel free to reach out to me. And if I'm interested, then maybe we'll discuss. I hope that you enjoyed and learned something. And remember, stay politically enraged and get politically engaged. Thanks.